Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour 3. The NFL drama continues. Live in L.A., it's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Alex Curry is joining me today. So, Alex, I am going to tell a fable today.
Okay. What's it about?
A fable. It started back in Russia. This is Russian school children were told this years ago. Early 20th century. It's the story about the frog and the scorpion. And you've probably heard this, but I'm going to tell this story. It's going to last about 2 minutes. And there's a frog and a scorpion on the side of a river. And the scorpion wants to go to the other side of the river, but a scorpion can't swim. So the scorpion says to the frog, "Will you take me over to the other side of the river?" And the frog says to the scorpion, "Well, you will sting me. Scorpions sting other insects and animals." And the scorpion goes, no. What would be the sense of that? If I sting you in the middle of the river, we would both die. And so the frog listens to the scorpion and says, "Well, that's reasonable. That's sensible. So why don't you jump on my back, scorpion, and I will take you across a river." And halfway across the river, the scorpion stabs and stings the frog, and the frog starts to die. And the frog turns around and goes, "Why did you stab me?" And the scorpion says, "It's who I am. It's in my nature." And it's interesting today because NFL teams are really becoming what they are. An hour ago, the Steelers signed Big Ben. Of course they did. It's in their nature. They cling on to players, very proud city. It's always been in the shadow of more big city Philadelphia. Pittsburgh's a very big, small town. Wonderful city, by the way, beautiful. But it's in their nature. They hold on and romanticize their history. Big Ben's coming back, took a pay cut, but they were going to make it work, even though he has not beaten an elite quarterback for about 15 years in a playoff game. Even though he's not committed in the offseason, that's legendary, not committed film study, not a great teammate some of the times, very dramatic. But it's in Pittsburgh's nature to bring him back. Seattle is different. Kevin Clark's a very funny writer for The Ringer. He always said, Seattle has never played a normal football game. Seattle's a little crazy. By the way, multiple general managers and scouting directors have told me through the years, we can't figure out the way Seattle drafts. They're always a total wild card. And today, Seattle's taking offers for Russell Wilson. That's in their nature. That's who they are. You would never think Russell's in his prime, top three quarterback. Will there ever be a time Kansas City, much more predictable, less flaky, less contrarian, would take calls for Patrick Mahomes in the next 3 years? Of course not. But this is Seattle's nature. Pete Carroll's always been a little different, a little off-center. That's not a negative. He's a very unique personality. He's very different, chomping that gum at 69 years old. And Russell Wilson plays the position differently than anybody that's ever played it. So the frog and the scorpion, we're both dying, but that's in my nature. That's who I am. And the Steelers, not a shock, figure out a way to keep Ben. And the Seahawks, not a shock, are actually taking calls for Russell Wilson. That's according to reports today. He's not happy in Seattle. My argument is, so what? A lot of people live in Seattle. It rains too much. They're not happy. If you got a great job at Microsoft, you make it work. If you got a great job at Starbucks, you make it work. I think Pete and Russell, there's going to be tension. I think they just serve each other well. Belichick and Brady didn't always get along. Kobe and Phil didn't get along. But it was the best place for them. We'll see how it turns out. Later in Best for Last, I'm going to play The Price is Right NFL Edition. TJ Hushmanzada in 10 minutes. All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
By the way, many of you, I just, over the course of the break at the top of the hour, are all fired up at me trolling Baker Mayfield over Mayfield acknowledging that he saw a UFO or admitting it last night. If you're in a position of power, sometimes you want to keep stuff to yourself. But Aaron Rodgers once said he saw a UFO, and Baker Mayfield's the second quarterback to say he's seen a UFO. Prefer my franchise quarterback keep that one to himself, but I don't really care. And Baker's going to sink or swim, and the UFO story will not probably have anything to do with any of it. But listen, you know, my theory on UFOs has always been the same. Is I think it's all either like falling stars, falling debris, like stuff falls out of the sky. And you see it a lot when you're out of a city in the country because you don't have the, what do they call it, the light pollution when you're in the middle of Utah. You're in the middle of the farmland in Wisconsin. You can see everything in the sky and stuff's shooting down and there's space junk. That's the first thing I think. And the second thing I think is it's our government testing stuff, and you can't hide everything. So I don't necessarily believe in UFOs. Now, there are Pentagon stuff that's been released with these things that look like TikToks that go 5,000 miles an hour. My guess on that is it's a government, some government, with it's military. And we're always trying to catch up to other countries. They're trying to catch up to us. So I can't explain the Phoenix Lights. I can't explain that. There was an incident at a Chicago airport about 7-8 years ago. You can look it up. That I think is the most fascinating UFO ever seen. Kind of seen, not seen, sort of seen. I'm not willing to believe it. It's just I think they're either space junk or they're military stuff. And the reason I say this is years ago, I was a sportscaster in Las Vegas. And we had a guy named Dan Burns who covered like Area 51. And we in Vegas saw the stealth before the rest of the country. Now they got stealth for years flying over games. But when they were developing it, where did it fly? It was flying all over the desert. This thing that radar couldn't pick up, that at night was black and you'd see three lights at the end of each angle of the triangle. So that was out there. The government was testing it for a decade. They were testing it for a decade. Lots of people thought they saw UFOs. In the end, it was stealth. And we didn't want to advertise it because stealth is a military jet that was used, didn't get picked up on radar. We used it in a war, if you remember, in the Middle East. So it's not that I'm saying we're the only people in the galaxy. Although, I'll be honest with you, there's only one Baker Mayfield. He can't be duplicated. There is no Baker Mayfield in another galaxy or another planet. That I can assure you. But I don't think that's going to have anything to do with his career. He's fine with it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Hushmanzada, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up on Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up on Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, veteran-owned. Go to blackriflecoffee.com/herd. Use the code HERD, 20% off your first coffee club order. Veteran-owned coffee company, serving premium coffee. Big Ben has re-signed with the Steelers for a lower number. Seattle is now officially taking calls on Russell Wilson. And Baker Mayfield saw a UFO. Three big quarterback stories today. TJ Hushmanzada, Fox Sports NFL analyst, is now joining me live. So you actually know the Seahawks culture pretty well. Are you shocked that after Russell goes a little public, Seattle is that uncomfortable that they're making calls to trade him?
I wouldn't say I'm shocked. If you look at the history, you look at Richard Sherman, you look at Earl Thomas, Pete Carroll has pretty much had a problem with their best players. As soon as they start to speak up, as soon as they start to question him, he gets rid of him. And so Russell Wilson will be the next guy that spoke out, said something. You question Pete, you have to go. And that's what it's looking like. It makes no sense to me. You don't really see quarterbacks as good as Russell Wilson get traded, but I foresee that taking place.
What do you think it is? Just Pete has a belief system and it has to run through him? I mean, so you make a good point. I mean, Richard Sherman, he had a problem with him. Earl Thomas, he had a problem with him. Like, a lot of coaches can handle it. But just Pete doesn't do that. If you don't support Pete, you're out, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, Pete is like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Like, really is. Like, he smiles in it, but you can't question him. And it's just really weird. And I look at it from this standpoint, Colin, is you look at the Buffalo Bills. Sean McDermott is a defensive coach. When he took that job, he was a defensive coach. Great defense. Run the ball. You draft Josh Allen. And then he adapted. He evolved. They will turn this into an offense that we can win Super Bowls and go to playoff. They evolved and literally just threw the ball all over the field, the Buffalo Bills. Pete Carroll doesn't want to evolve. They have a bad game or two. Oh, we got to be a two-yard and a cloud of dust offense. We got to start running the ball more. Pete doesn't want to evolve. He wants to be in the old days of playing football, at least offensive football. And Russell's looking at it like, look what Mahomes is doing. Look what Josh Allen is doing. Look what Jared Goff is doing in our own division. Look what Shanahan is doing in our own division. Look what Kyler Murray is doing in our own division. Why are we not playing how these guys are playing? And he's fed up.
If you were Dak Prescott's agent, I'm going to make an argument that Dak should take a franchise tag and not want to stay long-term in Dallas. And here's why. It's very hard to win in the NFL Super Bowls if you have an average coach and an average GM. Jerry Jones is the Cowboys GM and Mike McCarthy's the coach. Why not just take the franchise money, go to the market next year? By the way, the Patriots, Niners, and Saints may not have a quarterback next year. It's a bad quarterback college group next year. Why shouldn't Dak just say, pay me for a year, big money, 37 large, and let me just go to the market? Security isn't the be-all, end-all, is it, if you're Dak Prescott?
He's a quarterback. He's going to get it eventually. For me, if I'm Dak, I'm taking the franchise regardless. I'm getting to the open market next year. You take the franchise, you make $68 million in 2 years, and to me, you play the Kirk Cousins game, and you make the amount of money that Kirk Cousins has made over the last 6-7 years, and that's the way you go about it. But if you look on the flip side, you look at the NFC East, that division, it's very winnable. Every year, Washington, they don't have a quarterback. The Eagles, they don't have a quarterback. The Giants have a quarterback, but do they really have a quarterback? So you're looking at that division and saying any team can win this division. Dak with the Cowboys right away puts him at the forefront of that division just because he's the best quarterback in that division. But if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm playing a year on the franchise and I'm hitting the market and we'll see what happens.
So you played for the Cincinnati Bengals for 8 years. They have the 5th overall pick. They found their quarterback. They've got several needs. If you ran the Bengals, what, and you do all this college stuff. You're very keen on college players, developing them. You watch a lot of college football. What should your Bengals do with a fifth pick, a great pick in this draft?
One of two guys, Penei Sewell from Oregon, offensive tackle, or Rashawn Slater, the tackle from Northwestern. You have to draft one of those guys. The focus for the Bengals should be offensive line early and often in the draft. And if you can find a defensive starter up front, you do that as well. But you have to keep Joe Burrow protected, because when you look at that division, the Steelers always play defense. The Ravens always play defense. Oh, and the Browns have Myles Garrett. So you have to keep Joe Burrow upright and protected. And it starts with a front. They draft anything under than one of those two linemen, I'll be shocked.
All right. You work out with a lot of college quarterbacks and receivers. This is an excellent wide receiver draft. Is there one that's different, better than all the others in your opinion, TJ?
I mean, for me, it's obvious, but he's kind of drifted away because he opted out, is Ja'Marr Chase. If you just look at the way he played his last year in college with Burrow as a quarterback, and he was the number one receiver on that LSU team. Justin Jefferson was the number two receiver on that team. And then you see what Justin Jefferson did this year and just say, oh my God, he was the number two behind Ja'Marr Chase. So me personally, I'm going with Ja'Marr Chase. He's not a very tall guy. It's probably 6 feet, but he's thick. He just has great body control, great hand-eye coordination, and ability to go up and get the ball that other guys just don't have. He just has a knack for catching the ball, getting separation. And in NFL, these guys are good. You're not going to kill guys all the time. You're going to have to make contested catches. And that's what he did best when he was the last time we seen him playing college football.
So a year ago at this time, TJ Hushmanzada, you were telling me on the air and off, Justin Herbert is going to be unbelievable. So you kept saying to me, you're saying, dude, this guy is so big, his calves, his shoulders, his arm. And you're one of the reasons Joy and I sort of bought it, you know, we liked him. And you just kept saying, trust me, I'm seeing this kid every day. He's going to be unbelievable. And as you predicted, he was unbelievable. I suspect with a new coach, offensive-minded guy, they have a history of drafting pretty well. Justin's going to keep going. So you're also now seeing some of the quarterbacks. This appears to be a pretty good quarterback draft. Is there one quarterback or a couple that you have strong feelings about in this quarterback draft?
Man, so I just got back from actually working with him this morning. And I need some more time to give you an honest answer, Colin. Like, being out there, like, Trevor Lawrence, big guy, can move, can run, can really throw it. Great person, knows how to communicate with people. But then you see Zach Wilson and you say, oh, he's not that big. And then you see him run. He runs like a skilled guy, like he's a receiver, a DB. He's that fast. And then you see him throw and you're like, oh, wow. Ball just jumps out his hand. And then you see Justin Field. He's huge, like not very tall. It's probably 6'3", but he's a big boy, thick, big legs, big shoulders, very accurate throwing the ball today. He can run. And so those three guys are at the top. Where they fall, if I have to give you an honest answer, I need to see more. But I was very, very impressed with the accuracy and the way the ball was coming out all three of those guys' hands.
Hey, listen, we got five guys that are going to get drafted. You know, three of them probably do work. Let's be honest. That's usually one guy doesn't work, two or three do, and one's in the middle. And I worry about Zach Wilson's frame. He looks skinny to me. That worries me a little. You?
He's not skinny. He's just not overly tall. He's a thick guy. I would say he's about 210. And the other guy that was out there today with us, Kyle Trask, cannon, huge, big, like, 6-7 years ago, Kyle Trask would probably be the first pick. Prototypical quarterback, big dude, big arm, walked up to the field. I thought, oh, there go Carson Wentz. Oh, no, that's not Carson Wentz. That's Kyle Trask. So, but Zach Wilson, he's not a skinny guy by any means. He's just not very tall.
You played Bengals 8 years, Ravens one. I was a fan of Big Ben in his prime. I've heard stories about his lack of commitment for film study, his lack of commitment in the offseason. I was always told the audible system for the Steelers is pretty remedial and simple compared to a Manning or a Brady. So the Steelers re-signed him today for a smaller number. When you didn't have to face him, obviously, with the Bengals or Ravens, you're an offensive player. But what did guys that face Big Ben say? What were his strengths and weaknesses? How is he viewed by players in your division?
I mean, for me personally, and a lot of guys, Big Ben was the boxer that would take one of yours and land one of his. And he would sit in there. He would stare down the face of that rush. He wouldn't flinch. He wouldn't panic. And that's why his receivers get so many opportunities to get off-scripted plays and yards, because he's willing to take a hit and throw that ball at the last minute. He's willing to scramble around and let his guys get that extra time to get open. I've always had a lot of respect for Ben. I thought he was one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And when you look at it, every receiver that he's played with, every receiver, their number one receiver has always played well when Ben has been the quarterback. And so that says something for me.
Yeah. By the way, free agency is very interesting. So, you know, the old numbers are about 33% of free agents go to a team and it works. It's great. But there's a lot of whiffs. You've seen, are you a fan of free agency for teams? Obviously, for the players, they make more money. It's good for the players. But on the teams you were on, when your teams landed free agents, did they work? Did they not fit? You know, if you don't own the car initially, you don't, the odometer could be false, right? You don't know exactly what kind of guy he is. In your history in the NFL, what did you make of free agent acquisitions?
For me, the smart teams, this how I look at it, is this. If you bring in a big-time, high-money free agent, if he's an offensive player, run things that he does well. Don't make him fit into what you want him to do. Go watch the film from what he did well at his previous team. Implement a lot of those things. Talk to him. Okay, when you guys ran this route, when you guys were in this formation, what were you guys looking for? Why'd you run the route this way? If you're a defensive player, put schemes in that he's used to that he can be successful at. See, what happens is these guys have a lot of success and they go to a different team and they do the same thing that they did when they were on the previous team, but that's not how the new team wants it done. And they're like, oh, this guy can't play. Implement what he does well, and I believe you'll see more success rates. But a lot of these coaches in the league, they want it done their way, yeah, and they don't want to compromise, and that's where they go wrong at.
All right. In review, TJ Hushmanzada, who, you know, knows this league, played in Seattle, says if you're going to call out Pete Carroll, you're going to get shipped in Seattle. And the story today, the Seahawks have made calls to other teams about trading Russell Wilson. He's not happy in Seattle. Diana Russini at ESPN tells the Pat McAfee Show. Good stuff. TJ, love seeing you, my man.
Colin, I appreciate it, man. As always, keep up the great work.
All right. TJ Hushmanzada. Alex Curry with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Zion Williamson took no time getting back to work after a 4-point loss to the Bulls last night, after missing 8 of 16 free throws, including two crucial ones down the stretch. Zion spent 40 minutes shooting around after the game before speaking to reporters. And when asked why he took extra time to work on his technique, he said he needed to find his flow. Now, I think this is a good sign. It's better to take the time and go work on something you weren't happy with, opposed to leaving the game and drinking away your sorrows.
Well, also, his game is a more dynamic version of Karl Malone. And so he initiates so much contact, mm-hmm, he's going to spend a lot of time at the free throw line. And the prediction I made before he came into college, I said, my only concern is, in college he wasn't a great free throw shooter. If he gets to 75%, he's going to score thousands of points like Karl Malone at the free throw line. He just initiates so much contact. I never worry about his jump shot. He's got a nice looking jumper. I don't worry about his defense. He didn't have to be a great defensive player. But the free throw, I mean, you shoot 55% from the free throw line, you're giving up 5,000 points in your career. So, bad night, get it together.
Yeah.
Listen, Tim Duncan gave up a lot of points at the free throw line early in his career. I think he got better later. So it matters. It's the only free shot in the sport. Hit it.
Well, and if you put in the time, I feel like it's the easiest thing to improve on.
Yep.
That's all it takes. No secret recipe. All right, we're moving to the Steelers, who announced they have signed Ben Roethlisberger to a new contract for the 2021 season. Big Ben reportedly reduced his pay to $14 million from $19 million in the final year of his deal and spread the cash payment through 2022. This lowered his cap hit by over $15 million and keeps Big Ben in Pittsburgh for an 18th season. Now, it's not surprising but a little disappointing. It feels like we're kind of watching these quarterback stories. Feels like a quarterback sitcom. Everyone's kind of on the edge of their seat waiting to see the season finale where all the quarterbacks are going to end up. And Big Ben staying in Pittsburgh was like, okay.
I get Big Ben wanting it. Somebody pays me $14 million a year to play football. You know, 70s and 80s football in America was if you made the playoffs, you brought all your veterans back. Current football in the NFL for young general managers, if you make the playoffs but don't win a Super Bowl, you move off them and you get younger and better players. So, I mean, like the Rams won 10 games last year. They got rid of their quarterback. They were a playoff team. So that to me is how the NFL, that's the smarter teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, the Seahawks for years and years made the playoffs and they're like, no, we're going to go get Jamal Adams and Carlos Dunlap. I mean, to me, the teams in this league that keep adding pieces, Kansas City's done that. They're going to keep adding pieces. I think old school football was, we made the playoffs, bring our old guys back for another year. I don't think that's the winning Super Bowl formula.
You're not going to get better. Okay, now for your favorite story of the day, Baker Mayfield had an experience that he thinks is out of this world. He claimed he and his wife saw a UFO while they were driving home from dinner last night.
Right.
He tweeted that they saw a very bright ball of light falling from the sky and asked if anyone saw it too. Now, unlike you, Colin, I am all here for this.
Yes.
I absolutely love this. I've never personally had a UFO experience. I've watched all the documentaries. Some are a little wonky. I fall asleep to Ancient Aliens almost every night because I think it's fascinating. However, I love to hear it. The only thing I'm disappointed about is there wasn't a video to back it up. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, they're actually, in the last year, I've watched every documentary ever made.
You're in on it too.
Oh, I think it's fun.
See?
The last documentary I saw was the best one I've ever seen.
Which one?
Look it up real quick. I think it's called Phenomenon. And I'm not sure. Those are pictures, artist renditions of UFOs. They don't
quite. You mean that's not real? That wasn't
our
the real
radio
shot?
Audience. We've got some frisbees in the air. The Phenomenon. What's that on? Amazon Prime. So,
yeah.
The Phenomenon, Amazon Prime, for those who have watched anything on aliens, and I think, by the way, most Americans think it's fascinating. That was the best one I've ever seen. It was an hour and a half, and it wasn't nuts and loons and kooks. It was actually, they had like a government person, they had legitimate reporters, and somebody from the, if I recall, the Pentagon.
Yep.
So that was the best and most non-abstract. It felt like you were talking to grown-ups and listening to real information.
I saw it. And you know what? Yeah. No, it's silly to think that there's not other life forms out there. I mean, whether these are, as you mentioned, government testing different devices or it is a UFO that you see, I still love to see it. Share it. Just show me some proof. Give me some video. Give me a photo.
Come on, Baker. Turn your phone on.
I'm here for it.
Alex for the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
We're going to play in Best for Last, the NFL Price is Right. I'm going to give out contracts to some of the key NFL free agents. Who would I take? Who would I franchise? Who would I pay? Who would I let go? That's coming up next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Sometimes driving is great. Sometimes it's not. Lousy weather, get Michelin wiper blades. They hug the windshield like a Michelin tire hugs the road. Get yours today on Amazon Prime. So we've got some free agents out there. And Alex Curry is going to give me four contract offers for each player. And I will choose what I actually think is the best deal for the player.
Okay.
So I'm the player. What's the best deal? Because I do not always believe the best deal is the longest deal. So here we go.
All right.
Dak Prescott, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
All right, Dak Prescott, franchise tag projected at $37.7 million, 3 years at $115 million, 4 years at $160 million, and 8 years at $300 million.
Well, Jerry Jones is the general manager and Mike McCarthy is the coach. If I take $37.7 million, I've made $68.5 to $69 million in 2 years,
And then I put myself on the market, and every year the market has eight teams that need a quarterback. And next year, strangely, it's many of the good rosters in the NFL that will need quarterbacks. So I'm Dak Prescott. I take the franchise tag at $37.7 million.
Land the tag.
Jameis Winston, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
1 year, $1 million. 1 year, $3 million. 2 year, $5 million. 3 year, $10 million.
Okay, so Jameis Winston made some good money with his first contract.
Mm-hmm.
Jameis is only 27 years old. He's got a lot of tarmac here. He missed just 3 games in 5 years with injuries. He doesn't have to worry about that. If I'm Jameis Winston, I want a little security with Sean Payton. I'm going to take 2 years and $5 million. I'm not going to take three because I want to hit the market. But I do think you need more than 1 year as a starter. I'm young. I haven't been hurt. I want 2 years starting with Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis. I'd take a 2 year, $5 million deal. Not only be a one-off year, but at 2 years, if I'm productive for 2 years, I can go back into the big money range. It's not just a one-off. And I also think this year the roster will not be as good as it will the following year because they're going to have to peel back on some players. So I would take 2 years, $5 million for Jameis.
Allen Robinson, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
All right, Allen Robinson, franchise tag projected at $16.4 million. 2 years, $30 million. 3 years, $45 million, 4 years, $60 million.
So this is an easy one for me. He's a great player. He doesn't want to sign a 3 or a 4 year deal because he doesn't know who the Bears quarterback is going to be. Right? What if they stick with Foles? But only $16 million is dangerous because he missed the entire 2017 season with an ACL. So I want $30 million guaranteed for 2 years. And by that time, I want to hit the market. He's a great player. I love him. But that injury means I'm not going to take the franchise to that. That's not ideally what I'd like. I'd like the $30 million. But I'm not going to give you 3 years because I think I'm a star. I'm young. I want to hit the open market. So Allen Robinson, take 2 years, $30
million. Chris Godwin, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
All right, Chris Godwin, franchise tag projected at $16.4 million, 2 years, $30 million, 3 years, $45 million, and 4 years, $60 million.
So Chris Godwin's talented, but he missed several games due to injuries. They've already got Mike Evans. He's definitely the number two, and at times in the postseason, he felt like the number three. The franchise tag, again, he's worthy of big money. But Tom Brady probably only guaranteed to have 2 years left. I'll play with Tom for 2 years at $30 million. Then I'm not tying myself to the franchise because Tampa historically butchers the quarterback position. I'm Chris Godwin. Take 2 years with Tom, $30 million. Hit the market.
Yep.
Cam Newton, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
So, Cam, you got 1 year, $1 million, 1 year, $3 million, 2 year, $10 million, 4 year, $30
million. I'm going to go against the grain here. So, Cam made a lot of money in endorsements, $20, $30 million or more.
Yeah.
Cam made a lot of money as a number one pick. Money's not the key here. What Cam wants to do this year is win. Now, he had 12 rushing touchdowns last year, led the NFL. I'm going to do one more year at the cheapest number available, letting Belichick go after a veteran free agent at tight end and wide receiver. I'm going to take $1 million 1 year. Remember, the defense comes back. They've got a good draft pick. I'm going to roll the dice. I think I have the best coach in football. I now have a year in the system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take cheap money. I've made my money. I made over $50 million in endorsements. And, you know, Charlotte's not a place where, you know, you can keep a lot of your money there. It's not wildly expensive. I'm going to take the least and the shortest contract and win 11, 12 games. And people will say, you know what? He was a good Patriot. He was totally coachable. He was never about money. I change my brand. That's what I do if I'm Cam.
All right.
Aaron Jones, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
So Aaron Jones' franchise tag projected at $11.1 million. 2 years, $25 million. 3 years, $35 million. 4 years, $50
million. This one, this is tough because I think Aaron's great. And I wouldn't want to leave. I would not want to leave the Green Bay Packers. I wouldn't want to leave that offensive line. And I wouldn't want to leave Aaron Rodgers. Now, the feeling is, basically, that is, if you're a running back, just take the most money you can possibly take. But I think Aaron Jones is a top two or three running back. So I'm going to take $11 million for 1 year with Aaron Rodgers. Remember, what if Aaron gets hurt again and I have Jordan Love and he can't play? Aaron Jones is a guy that's about winning. He wants to win. He's a quality guy. I had a brief injury. My history is not about injuries. I believe I'm a top two or three running back. They don't run me. The Packers have depth at running back. So it's not a situation where he has 35 carries and his career is going to be shortened. I stick with Green Bay for one more year. Let him franchise tag me. We've been to the NFC Championship. I like being part of a winning culture. My games get on TV. People see I'm a dependable star. But I don't mind hitting the market. I think Aaron Jones has value on the market. I think he's that good.
Shaq Barrett, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
All right, Shaq's franchise tag projected at $19 million, 3 years, $45 million, 4 years, $50 million, and 5 years, $60 million.
I'm going to do the franchise tag again.
Ooh.
You people think I'm nuts
tag
on this.
Game.
Listen, he's had one great season, so people could say, watch out. But I think two things everybody in this league wants. They want pass rushers, and they want quarterbacks. And Tampa's got so many stars, they can't give him the most money. I'm going to run it back one more year, make a ton of money, be a top fifth highest paid defensive end in the NFL for one more year. Then I'm going to go to the market. But Tampa's got so many different players here. I trust my ability. I'm a top five defensive end. Pay me big lettuce for a year. Run it back with Brady. I'll be on television again 10 times. Then I hit the market. And now we got to hit commercials. We're done for today. The Herd.